to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Last week we looked at verse 5 in Colossians 4. Walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Walking in wisdom toward them that are outside. In other words, those who are outside of the Christian faith. Talking about our conduct amongst the unbelieving world. And that conduct amongst the unbelieving world must be in wisdom. And as we emphasized last week, there's kind of two thoughts to that. I need to be wise. I need to have wisdom so that as I walk among that unbelieving world, I'm not influenced for evil. But I also need to have wisdom so that as I walk among that unbelieving world, I might influence them for good. And so we need wisdom on both counts. And part of that wisdom for our conduct in that unbelieving world is redeeming the time. To buy up every opportunity that time offers to us. To use our time wisely for the glory of God. That's part of that walking in wisdom. This evening we want to look at verse 6 of Colossians 4. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 5 is walk in wisdom. Verse 6 is talk with grace. We've been looking at Colossians chapter 3 down through verse 6 of chapter 4. And as Lloyd just read some of those verses a few moments ago, it is talking about that putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And what does that new man look like? Ones who have been saved and trusted Christ as their Savior. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been raised with a new life. What does that new life look like in a very practical sense? And that's what chapters 3 and in the first part of chapter 4 is all about. And he's now coming to the conclusion of talking about that practical life of a believer and what that looks like. Beginning with verse 7 of chapter 4, he starts to just talk about some individuals and sends greetings back and forth to each other, to people in Colossae. So this section ends with verses 5 and 6. And he ends this section about what the life of a believer should look like. One who's been crucified with Christ and been raised with a new life. What does it look like? He ends with, walk in wisdom and talk with grace. You know, part of that wise walk amongst the unbelieving world is this talk with grace. The two can't be separated. If we're going to walk with wisdom, we're going to have to talk with grace. Proverbs, which we read earlier in chapter 16, says this, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Wisdom and controlling one's tongue, when controlling one's speech, is connected often in Scripture. In Proverbs there that we read earlier, several places, it connected that wisdom with controlling the tongue. James chapter 3 talks about bridling the tongue, and immediately following the section in which he talks about the tongue, he talks about wisdom that is from above. You can't separate wisdom from controlling the tongue. And so here he speaks of walking in wisdom and talking with grace. Really, verse 6 divides very easily into three points. Speaking with grace, seasoning with salt, and responding to others. Speaking with grace, seasoning with salt, responding to others. Let's bow in prayer. Father, you've told us in your word that it is hard to tame the tongue. In fact, for us alone, it is impossible. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Spirit of God in us. Thank you for the new life that you've given to us. We are able to control that tongue. We are able to tame it. We are able to talk with grace. Christ is our example. May we truly learn from Him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let your speech be always with grace. Perhaps you're translation uses the word conversation. Let your conversation be with grace. The word actually is the Greek word logos. Many of you will recognize the word logos is the word for word. And so in essence, he's saying, let your word be always with grace. He's speaking here of the fact that when we speak, it needs to be with gracious words, kind words, pleasant words, words that are beneficial to the hearer. They are gracious words. People should associate us with gracious, kind, thoughtful words. When people think of you, is that what they think of? A person who is gracious in his speech, a person who is thoughtful in his speech, one who is kind, one who speaks in ways that are beneficial. That should be how people notice us and recognize us. James chapter 3 verse 2 says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. The word perfect there, of course, referring to maturity. If we want to be seen as mature individuals, we need to not offend in word. And not to offend in word is the same thought here, is to speak with grace. To speak those words which are thoughtful and kind and pleasant and beneficial. That's words that do not offend. And one who speaks with grace is one who is mature, James tells us. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow him up. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Same idea as what Paul's expressing here. A wise man, you want to be considered a wise man? We need to speak gracious words. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. The word acceptable is closely tied with the word grace and gracious. A wise man knows what words are acceptable. He knows how to speak gracious, beneficial, acceptable words. So as you put James together with Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, it's a mature, wise, righteous man who's going to speak with grace. His words are going to be thoughtful and kind and beneficial to the hearer. Christ is our example. In Luke chapter 4, we read this, that the multitudes wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They wondered. The word wondered in that verse in Luke 4:22 is they were amazed or they were astonished. They were amazed at the gracious words that proceeded out of the mouth of Christ. Can you say that anyone has ever been amazed at your gracious words? Is that the picture that people have of us? That they're just amazed and astonished at how gracious we are in our speech, how kind and thoughtful we are? That was the picture, that's the thoughts that people had of Christ because of his gracious words. Grace. Let your speech be always with grace. Again, we say it's kind, it's thoughtful, it's beneficial, but usually when we think of grace, do we not think of the idea of undeserved kindness? We're saved by grace. We don't deserve it, but God bestows his kindness upon us even though we don't deserve it. And I think we need to recognize that in this context as well. Our speech is to be with grace. In other words, we shouldn't always give to people the words that we think they deserve. We should be gracious and give them words that we don't think they do deserve. In other words, it's easy to tell people off. It's easy to give people a good tongue lashing because they deserve it. And Paul says, no, we need to be gracious. Even though we think they might deserve otherwise, we need to be gracious and be kind and thoughtful. We need to be beneficial to them with our words. That which benefits them, whether we think they deserve it or not. In fact, if we think they don't deserve it, that's when we should because that's what it means to be gracious, to give to them what they don't deserve. Only those, obviously, who are submissive to the grace of God in their life can speak with grace. It's only those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, who have experienced the grace of God in their life, that is ever going to have a chance to be gracious with their speech. Only as we submit to the Spirit of God in our life are we going to be able to tame the tongue. Again, James talks about taming the tongue, and he says to tame the tongue is like trying to tame a wild animal, he says in James 3. A wild animal doesn't tame naturally. A man can tame a wild animal, but it's not natural for that animal to be tamed. And the same is true with the tongue. It doesn't come natural to tame the tongue. In the power of the Spirit of God in our lives, we can tame it, but on our own, we'll never tame the tongue. We need the grace and power of God. The only one that can speak always with grace is the one who has experienced the grace of God in his life as they've submitted to God first for salvation and then submit to God daily and submit to the Spirit of God daily so that we can have victory and tame the tongue. And notice it says, let your speech, your word, always be with grace. Always. Now, why'd Paul have to throw that word in there? Now, wouldn't it be nice if he had said, let your speech be sometimes with grace, or even most of the time with grace. But let your speech be always with grace. Paul, really? There's no exceptions? Even when somebody's ridiculing me? Even when somebody's mocking me? Even if somebody is lying about me? Even if somebody is intentionally offending me? You expect me to speak with grace? Let your speech be always with grace. It seems to me there's no exceptions there. Yes, even if somebody is offending you intentionally, even if somebody's lying about you, let your speech be always with grace. Like we said, they may be lying about you and they don't deserve it, but we need to be kind in our words and thoughtful and beneficial. Now again, obviously, Scripture does talk about the necessity of reproof and rebuke. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, part of proclaiming the Word of God is reproof and rebuke and exhortation. So yes, there is a time and place for reproof and rebuke, but even in that reproof, even in that rebuke, it should be with grace. In other words, in my reproof and my rebuke, it's not about me setting the record straight because I was offended. No, it's about God being offended and correcting that wrong. And when we reprove and rebuke with the goal of correcting the wrong because God's been offended, we do so with grace. The goal is to correct the individual who is sinning. The goal is not to get my side out and to make sure that everybody knows my side. That's not the goal. The goal is simply to correct the wrong for the glory of God. It's not about me. So even in our reproof and our rebuke, it needs to be with grace. Because the goal is the glory of God. Not because I was offended, but God was offended. Ephesians emphasizes in chapter 4 that we ought to speak the truth in love. Even reproof and rebuke needs to be in love. Even reproof and rebuke needs to be with gracious, kind, and words that are beneficial. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's a very picturesque way of putting it. Seasoned with salt. Exactly what does that mean? First of all, I find this very interesting. The word seasoned is in the perfect tense. Perfect tense refers to that which has happened in the past and has present results. So our speech is to be with grace, and it should have been seasoned with salt in the past. In other words, it's a very picturesque way of saying, think before you speak. The seasoning with salt takes place in the mind before it comes out the mouth. And that's, I believe, what Paul's emphasizing here. Make sure as you speak with grace that you have seasoned it with salt prior to it coming out your mouth. You've thought it through. Think before you speak. As James again tells us, that we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to speak because we've thought it through first. We've done the seasoning ahead of time. We need to think before we speak. And that's just, I believe, a very picturesque way of Paul saying that to us. Think it through. Think through how you're going to word it. Think through the individual you're talking to. Think through how they're going to accept it and how they're going to interpret what you say. Think it all through and then speak. That's the seasoning that takes place in the mind before it comes out the mouth. Too many times we put our mouth in gear before we put our mind in gear. And Paul says, put the mind in gear first, season it with salt, and then open the mouth and be gracious in your speech. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Fitly spoken. You know, the word seasoned is actually it's a word that comes from a root word that means to arrange or to fit. And so it really is the same thought as Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken, a word that has been thought through, a word that has been arranged and it's very fitting, it's very appropriate. That's the thought process that needs to take place in our mind. We need to arrange those words and make sure it's an appropriate and fitting word before we speak. That's the seasoning with salt. We can be very careless with our words. We can speak before thinking, and we can do great harm with our words. Now, the idea of salt, let's just talk about that for a moment. The properties of salt, I've seen this before in Matthew where it talks about we are to be salt of the earth and we consider the properties of salt. But in light of this context, our speech should be gracious, seasoned with salt. Well, what are the properties of salt? One of the properties of salt is, as most of us would know, it's a seasoning. We put it on our food to enhance the flavor, to make the food taste good. I know sometimes the people have to be on a low-salt diet and they can't put too much salt on their food, but we put salt on the food because it is a seasoning and it enhances the taste. And so our speech should be seasoned with salt. Our words ought to taste good to people. It ought to be something that enhances the speech, that which is good for people and they appreciate it and it tastes good to them. That's what our words should be. They should want to hear from us because our speech has been seasoned with salt. It tastes good to them. It's pleasant to them. They recognize it's going to be kind words coming from us. Now, did you ever go to shake some salt on your food and the lid comes off? And then you try to scrape the salt off and get as much off it, but you just can't get it all off, can you? It's just too much. Well, sometimes we need to shut up. Sometimes we can make people gag on too many words. It needs to be seasoned with salt. Seasoning is very precise. You can have too little or you can have too much. And we don't want too little. We need to speak up and be pleasant and gracious, but we don't want too much. Again, Proverbs tells us that a fool is known by his many words. We don't want to be a fool. Seasoned with salt, just the right amount that encourages people and is beneficial to them. Salt is also an antiseptic. It's for healing. Now, if you have an infection in your finger, you soak it in salt water, in Epsom salts, and it helps heal the infection. It draws the infection out. Well, our words should be for healing, not for wounding. Our words should be for curing, not for cutting. We can cut people down with our words, and we can wound people with our words, and our words need to be seasoned with salt that heal and cure, not wound and cut. Again, with reproof and rebuke. The idea is not to rebuke them and cut them down at the knees. The idea is to heal and to correct. That's our goal. And so it needs to be with gracious words. Gossip can be very wounding. Our words need to be healing. Salt preserves against corruption. You know, in the old days when there were no freezers or refrigerators, they preserved their food with salt, and it would preserve against that corruption. And our words should preserve against corruption. Our words should be that which is drawing people to Christ. As people are drawn to Christ, there's less corruption in this world. And so we ought to be preserving against corruption, even with our witness, as we speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to others so that they can come to know Christ as their Savior. That preserves against corruption. And also, we need to respond to other people's anger in ways that don't add to the corruption, but preserves against corruption. As Proverbs once again tells us, a soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer is words that have been seasoned with salt. That's preserving against corruption. When we respond to anger with anger, we're just adding to the corruption. But a soft answer will turn away that wrath and preserve against that corruption. You know, even though sometimes we have to be on a low-salt diet, we can't be on a no-salt diet. But we do have to have some salt. The human body can't live without some salt. It's necessary for life. And I don't know if I want to go so far as to say that you can't live without my words. That might be stretching things a little too far. But, as we read there in Proverbs chapter 16, it does say that pleasant words are like health to the bones. Our words should add to people's lives. Our words should be health to their bones. It should be that which is beneficial to them, and that which gives comfort to them, and that which encourages them. Something that just adds to their life, that gives their life more meaning. Especially those times when somebody's going through a very difficult time, and we say the right word at the right time that just really encourages them and gives life worth living. Because we have season our words with salt. And then finally, of course, when we think of the properties of salt, salt does, if we get too much of it, makes us thirsty. And I would just suggest that with our words, we can cause people to thirst after what we have. You know, we live in a day and age where people are very cruel with their words. People are very cutting. People wound with their words and lots of gossip and just all kinds of, you know, we see it all the time. I don't want to get political, but I'm not opposed to everything our president does, but I am opposed to some things that he does, and he can be very cutting with his words. And we live in that day and age where people think that's wonderful, that's great. It's not. It's not. Our words ought to make people thirsty for what we have. When they see our gracious words, and when they see our kind words, and even kind words towards those who don't deserve it, they should look at us and say, man, Don's different. Don doesn't speak like others, like Christ. They wondered at His gracious words. He was different. And we need to be different. We should cause people to thirst after what we have. And of course, what we have is the life of Christ through faith in Him. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The word answer here is, and perhaps your translation uses the word respond to every man or reply to every man. It's not just answer in the sense of knowing how to answer the questions of people, but simply knowing how to respond to people. Knowing how to respond to somebody who's angry. Knowing how to respond to somebody who's lying to you. Knowing how to respond to the mockery, perhaps, that somebody gives or the ridicule. Just knowing how to respond to people around us. That's what he's talking about. We need to know how to respond. We need to know, how do I respond with gracious words? How do I control my natural tendencies to tell them off? I need to know how to respond. How to be surrendered to the Spirit of God in my life so that I tame that tongue and respond with gracious words seasoned with salt. Knowing how to respond in any given circumstance to any one individual. You know, everybody's different. Maybe I need to respond a little differently to this person than I do to this person, or in this circumstance compared to this circumstance. I need to know that. Need to know how to respond to certain individuals and in certain circumstances. I need wisdom. Brings us back to verse 5, walking in wisdom. I need wisdom that's from above. I need God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Man's wisdom says, tell them off. God's wisdom says, be gracious, seasoned with salt. And he says, we need to know how to respond. And he says even how we ought to respond. The word ought here is a word, how I must respond, how it is necessary for me to respond. You see, it's necessary for me to respond with gracious words seasoned with salt. It's not just a good idea. It's not just a good suggestion. It's necessary. And I would close by turning to James chapter 1. If you would turn there with me to James chapter 1, I just want to real quickly look at one verse. James chapter 1, and verse 26. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. If one does not bridle his tongue, his religion is vain. Now, as James uses the word religion, we usually kind of think of religion as the man-made stuff. And, you know, religion, we often say, you know, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But as James uses the word religion, it's not a bad word. And as James uses it, we can say that Christianity is a religion. But what he's saying is that even your Christianity, if you don't bridle your tongue, it can be very empty, vain. In other words, what he's saying, and that's what Paul says, it's necessary. It's necessary to speak with grace, seasoned with salt. It's necessary. And tying it in with James here, if we don't, as believers, if we don't have speech that is gracious, seasoned with salt, our religion, our Christianity, is really very empty. It's really kind of useless. Oh, we might be saved and we might be going to heaven, but it's very useless when it comes to really serving God and impacting other people's lives. It's very useless when it comes to really being a witness and a testimony for Jesus Christ. If I can't bridle my tongue, I will be ineffective in reaching people for Christ. If I can't bridle my tongue, I'll be ineffective in being a testimony for Christ. If I can't bridle my tongue, it's going to turn people away from Christ, not draw them to Christ. If I can't bridle my tongue, my religion, my Christianity, is really quite empty and useless. Therefore, it is necessary, if I'm going to serve my Lord and be faithful to Him, if I'm going to be effective for Him, it is necessary that I speak with grace, seasoned with salt. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for our time together tonight and Your Word, again, so practical for us. Help us to recognize the necessity of taming the tongue, being gracious in our speech, thinking before we speak, so that we might benefit the hearer, so that it might be healing and encouraging to them. Help us, Father, even when the other person, from our estimation, doesn't deserve it. Help us to be gracious. Thank You for the example of Christ. May others be amazed at the gracious words that proceed out of our mouth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, we are going out into an unbelieving world. Help us to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.